Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Thursday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. On this show, it is a little all over the place. For podcast listeners, it's going to be mainly hockey talk. It's going to be exclusively hockey talk. We're going to look at the Oilers, and we are going to look at a bit of talk about the Flames. I did a Twitch stream, and so that is we're going to use that as a live chat for the podcast today. For those of you who are watching, you won't have that. That is going to be coming out a little bit, or that one's out as a Twitch video that I put up on YouTube. For those of you who are watching, the focus is going to be on the Oilers, and then we will get into the combat sports stuff, looking at the legacy of Canelo Alvarez and some big fights that have been announced in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. For podcast listeners, that the combat sports stuff is going to be a part two. So I've already wasted way too much time explaining what we are doing today. Let's get into some hockey. All right, the Edmonton Oilers are off to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs following a victory over the Kings of Los Angeles 4-3 in the game last night. If you want a real in-depth conversation about this, as you can tell by the jersey behind me, I was on Game Over Edmonton last night breaking down this one. It's on the Game Over Network, so go check that out. All right, so the Oilers move on. And they, like, just quite simply were the better hockey team throughout. That there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that they were just a superior hockey club to the LA Kings. And they are, I think, in a really, really good spot now. When you look at the next series, it's either going to be Vancouver shorthanded in goal or Nashville, who's just not as good as Edmonton is. And then going, presumably, going toward the West Final, going up against Dallas, Vegas, or Colorado, who will have just survived an absolute bar fight of a series for 4-7 games. So I think when you look at how things are shaking out for the Oilers, things have broken quite well for this team right now. And everything is clicking. At this point, that was a full team effort from them last night. Draisaitl, I thought, was the best player on the ice. He, when Edmonton was going slow at the beginning, he was just like, you know what, guys? Let's do this thing. And he was powering his way forward and creating a lot of opportunities for his team. He was dynamic on the power play, which, as I explained on Game Over last night, really kind of rose all ships for them and was able to get that thing rolling in the right direction as well. And then you look at the forward depth on this team. Not that McDavid is a depth piece, but that first line was great as well. But Holloway, Perry, and McLeod, I thought, had a good game. Evander Kane, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who doesn't get enough credit for the net front presence that he is. The puck deflects in off of him for a big goal for the Oilers. He has had a couple of them in this series, and I don't think people give him credit for how much he battles in front of the goal. But that line, those guys were clicking as well. And then on the blue line, CeCe makes a really good play late to break up a cycle for the Kings that ends up with the Oilers clearing the zone. Bouchard was flying around the ice last night. Darnell Nurse was just a rock for them. And then when called upon, Stuart Skinner came up big. And that is the piece for the Oilers that is, I think, the difference. They have finally built this team into what it should have been for a while. They have added guys like Kane, who is playing his best, close to his best anyway. They have added Henrique, who has been really strong. And between the pipes, Stuart Skinner has turned into a legitimate number one goalie at the best time. And I think you can make a case with Demko out, you can make a very strong case that he's the best goalie left in the Western Conference. And that is a real boost when you also have like two of the top three players left in the entire National Hockey League playing on your team. If you have a goalie who is playing well as well, then holy shit, is this thing really starting to move in the right direction for the Edmonton Oilers? And so now they have a few days to refuel, a few days to refocus, and a few days to kind of get their bearings and make a real push here in the second round. I think that this is a very, very, very dangerous Edmonton Oilers team. And you know what? As I am saying this, let's just let's take a little look-see at some futures markets, hey? I haven't really done a whole lot of gambling talk on this lately, so let's go here. NHL playoffs, let's click on futures. Can we go, I guess it would be season bets? Yeah, take longer, don't you? So the Oilers are tied for the best Stanley Cup odds right now at plus 450 to win the cup, along with Carolina. I don't like that Carolina play at all. I would take the Rangers before I would take Carolina. So I guess the top five here are Carolina and Edmonton at plus 450, Florida and Colorado at plus 500, New York Rangers at plus 650, Dallas at plus 750, Boston plus 1100, Vancouver plus 1700, Vegas plus 3000, and Toronto plus 5000. If we're looking for a value play in all of that, I don't hate the Colorado pick. They're playing really well right now. They were my pick to move on anyway. So getting Colorado at plus 500, don't hate that. Getting the Rangers at plus 650, don't hate that either. So a couple of value plays out there in the market. And another one that could be a value there, the Dallas Stars, as they pick up a victory over the LA Kings last night. Now, or sorry, over the Vegas Golden Knights. They have now won three in a row and have the Golden Knights in an area that is exclusive to sports. On the brink, the Golden Knights are on the brink of elimination following a victory for the Stars. And I said this last time, and I'm going to say it again. Can we stop pretending like Vegas had some unfair advantage by having to sit Mark Stone for half of the year? And yes, it allowed them to accumulate quite a bit of talent, but it also has put them in a spot where they have to go up against a number one seed. You think about it. If Vegas was healthy, if Mark Stone is there, is it out of the realm of possibility that this is a two seed in the Western or in the Pacific Division? I do not. Now, that probably means they have to play the Oilers, but is there a world where things could have shaken out a little bit differently for this team and they end up playing the Kings in the first round? Absolutely there is. Could they have won the Pacific? Maybe. Vancouver gone on quite a bit of a roll, but all I am saying is we get so focused on, oh, well, they could play a team with $87 million in cap space. Right. But they also had to grind their way through the back part of the regular season. They didn't have the luxury of having one of the most complete players in the National Hockey League on their roster. And so I fail to see how that is a knock against them, that they were able to make the playoffs without Mark Stone and without some of the players that they were dealing with. And now those guys have to get up to speed in the playoffs. I just don't think it's the advantage that everyone thinks it is. I really genuinely don't. And if we want to put in a salary cap for the playoffs, I think there's going to be unintended consequences for that. If Vancouver has to put Thatcher Demko on LTIR just so they can bring in Silvois and DeSmith as their goalies, I don't think that is a system that works. If you have a Leafs team that's right up against the salary cap, and now Austin Matthews goes down, but you can't, you have to call someone up to bring them into the lineup. Well, the only guy we have costs $1.5 million. We can't bring him in. Guess we're going with 10 skater or 11 forwards and 6 defensemen tonight. I would hate that that would be a thing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So if you want to not include LTIR in some kind of salary cap thing, I'm going to need to see a way that doesn't, I think, greatly impact the playoffs before I am on board with it. I think if you got rid of the salary, or if you implemented a salary cap for the playoffs as well, there would be a lot of unintended consequences. And also, what is the fun of trade deadline? It's movement. It's players going around, right? It's rumors. It's, okay, well, this trade. And then the hurdle trade comes out of fucking nowhere, and we all lose our shit about it. Why would we want to implement a system that limits that? I know it's not fair. It is fair. Every team could do this. Calgary could have put Huberto on LTIR and acquired 8 different guys if they so choose. Now, the player would have to be on board and all of that, but right, like, you know what I'm saying? That this is available for every team. It's not unfair. Everyone can do it. And I just find it hard to believe that Vegas went out and actually just cut the spleen of Stone on their own. And so that they could go out and acquire Noah Hanifin and Tomáš Hertl. I just don't think that's the case. They had an injury. They had some cap dollars with that and they exploited it. I have no problem with the system. I have no problem with them exploiting it. Now they are in the spot that they are in. Now that they had to come in as a wildcard team and face a very good division-winning Dallas Stars team, I just don't see how that's, oh, wow, boy, they really caught a break there. I think that's kind of bullshit. All right, so for, like I said, for those listening in podcast form, we're now going to go to what was essentially a live chat from my Twitch stream. Had Deeds on there chatting. We got an Audi drive by. We had Toxic come in as well. Big John made an appearance. So a lot of questions about the Flames, how you would trade around in the draft. Hypothetically, would you make a trade for Mitch Marner? A lot came up on that conversation today. So for podcast listeners, we're going to go to that. For those watching on YouTube, that is just the most recent Twitch stream that I did. It is under NHL 24 Flames Rebuild on this YouTube channel right now. Instead, we're going to go to some Fight Talk. And podcast listeners, this will be in part two of the podcast. We're going to look at the Canelo Alvarez legacy. We are also going to look at some big fight announcements that have come from the UFC over the last month or so. So, bye, and we will talk about something right now.
Yeah, can Teej not in the world? Would really like him to be available with the Flames pick. Yeah, no, that's a fair point, Deeds. He is rapidly playing himself out of a spot that the Flames would be able to pick him in, because he is playing so well down at the World U18s right now. I mean, the whole team is. Like, McKenna, good grief. You want to feel better about where the Flames are going, just watch that cat play some hockey for a little bit, and you'll feel pretty good about doing a potential teardown with this Calgary Flames squad. I think I've said it before, kind of happy to be watching good hockey this year, now that the playoffs are on, and what a playoff it has been. Both NHL, NBA took a bit of time to get going, but it's hit full gear. A couple of those games last night were just spectacular. So, really excited to be watching those. The rest, whether it's Vancouver or Nashville, and then the Central teams, all have to be looking at the Kings and be like, really? You not only is McDavid playing great with 5 assists in game 1, not only is Hyman going to continue to score, not only is Draisaitl going to be awesome, but you guys have let the goalie get hot now? Man, fuck all y'all. Deeds, I really hate having to cheer for the Canucks, but I refuse to cheer for Edmund. You know what? That is very fair. I do think in the power rankings of who Flames fans hate the most, Edmonton will always be there. There was probably a stretch where Vancouver was up there when Edmonton was going through rebuild after rebuild after rebuild, and the Canucks were, you know, going to Stanley Cup finals and stuff like that. But I do think that tide has certainly turned. But that has to be a bit of an annoyance. Well, it doesn't have to be. It is a bit of an annoyance that now both of those teams are good. That was a missed opportunity for the Canucks last night, though, against Nashville. Like, I get the Preds just kind of, to steal the basketball term, dribbled the air out of the basketball. But to steal an Audi term, because it's an Audi term now, I think the Flame or the Canucks needed to put a bow on that one last night. With, like, I don't think a few extra days is going to help get Thatcher Demko back or anything like that. But I think for a team that isn't familiar with playoff hockey like the Canucks are, I think having a few days to reset and be like, okay, so what was that we just went through, and be able to get their bearings for the next round would be good, because it does seem like they're going to be facing a juggernaut in Edmonton next, and that is if Vancouver can get through. Saros played great last night, and offensively Vancouver kind of stunk. Yes, Audie, we're putting a bow on it. Elias Pettersson is either hurt or on vacation mode. Could be both. Definitely could be both. I think he is really good. The problem, he's kind of, this is going to be a bit of a forced comparison to start, but just follow me on here. He is kind of like Jokic, where when it's going well, it is so smooth and so effortless that it doesn't seem like it's like this overwhelming thing. But when it's going poorly, it's also looks kind of effortless. So you get this frustration that it doesn't look like he's trying. Because that's kind of always how it is. Just everything is so smooth and so easy that when it's not working, it looks like he is just kind of dogging it out there. But no, like their offense needs to be a lot better, and he needs to be a lot better. Miller's been fine. Besser has been all right. But yeah, I wonder if you go with the Lotto line with Pettersson, Miller, and Besser a little bit more to try to get him going, because he is so important. It's like with Toronto, right? Or, I mean, really, any of these teams. It's cool if your depth dudes are going, but if the top guy isn't the top guy, then you're not going to do shit. The heart of me knows that trading Kuzmenko next year is probably the right move for the Flames. It's just going to hurt because I like him so much. Deeds, I stand by if the Flames somehow manage to get Teej, they need to give him 24 like his dad and Connie had and drafted in 24. It writes itself. That is a beautiful note, Deeds, and I completely agree with you. Yes, the amount of everything going on around that pick, if they do actually get Teej, is going to be so much fun. And it's going to put the Flames in a tough spot if wherever they are drafting, he's still available, but he's not best player available. And look, at that point, take whoever best player available is. And as we said before, maybe that it's just going to figure itself out and he's not going to be there. But there are so many people here who want Iginla on the Flames again. And if he is there and they don't take him, where it's reasonable to, right? Like if they win the draft lottery and they take Celebrini over Iginla, I can't imagine that there will still be some, because there will be people who just don't know anything. But I think there will be some who will be a little annoyed at that particular situation there. But I'm still wondering if the Flames are able to get another pick kind of high, depending on where the Devils go. And do you do Schneider and Horvat that Vancouver and the Devils did a while ago? It's funny that the Devils be involved in it again. And just go Markstrom for Iginla. It's one for one. And do it that way, and you still get player X, whoever you draft before. But then you also get the kid that everyone is so excited about. Just some thoughts. Just thoughts that I have had, but excited for the draft lottery. That's coming up, isn't it, like next weekend? The draft lottery? That's going to be fun. Until it isn't. Like, it's going to be fun until Chicago wins it, and then we all lose our minds. I was also thinking about this. And sorry, I know Deeds and Audie, you guys have both chatted in there. I'll get to that in a second, but I'm rambling now. What do the Devils do if they get one? Do they stick and pick with Celebrini? Because they need a few things. I don't know if like another skilled forward is one of them. And like I think Celebrini is going to be quite good. But if you can get a decent haul for that cat, if you're New Jersey, like I don't think they need another defenseman. They just kind of got banged up last year. Some defense depth, maybe. But they need a goalie. But do they need a goalie enough to trade for a goalie with the number one overall pick in the draft? I don't know. So I think, aside from Calgary, for obvious reasons for me, I think the most interesting team to win the draft lottery would be the New Jersey Devils and see what they actually do with it. Because they are so close. I still believe if they made the move for Markstrom, not only would they be a playoff team, they'd probably be a second-round playoff team. I thought that highly of that team this year. And so if you are, in my opinion, that close to actually being a contender, and you get this giant trade chip, like, why not? Like, if you're Calgary, say you get 9. Markstrom a 9 for 1. That interests me a little bit. So I don't know. I think there's something there if New Jersey wins it. Now, they have worse odds of winning it than the Flames do. But it's just, you know, these are the thoughts that I have. Deeds, you have to draft him even if there's another above him. Look, imagine the pressure on the kid they take instead of Teej. They will always be known as being picked over Teej. That is an excellent point, Deeds, is that there would be... The comparisons would be obvious the whole career, right? Like, it would be, Peyton, or not... Well, I get Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf, but that was over pretty quick. But it would be like Eli Manning, Phil Rivers, or some of those other ones, right? I'm sure there's another hockey analogy you could use, but that's where I would go. You think Markstrom has gone this offseason? Yes, I do. Like, I know you asked about Markstrom and 9 for first overall. And I get, like, look, if it's Chicago in that spot, would they do it and want to move up? Mark Lazarus tweeting out the other day that Stamkos would look good beside Bedard. That is now my official prediction, because I said on my podcast the other day that I don't see a world where Tampa Bay should bring Stamkos back. And so if they can put... if Chicago can put Stamkos with Bedard, still get, say, Teej Iginla at 9, and throw in a Jacob Markstrom, and the Flames get the Celebrini that they've been looking for. Win-win-wins all around. And I don't like wins for Chicago. I was talking about something. All right, the Kuzmenko thing. Let's say, hypothetically, that the Flames end up winning the draft lottery or trading Markstrom for the number one overall pick. Either way, let's say the Flames end up with Macklin Celebrini. All this talk about, like, Kuzmenko and stuff, that changes, right? Because is there a player on the Flames roster right now that you would rather have to play with the number one overall pick? Oh, saw that coming. But is there a player on this Flames roster you'd rather have out there with the number one overall pick than Andre Kuzmenko? I think not. So I again, it's likely not going to happen that the Flames win the lottery. But I think if they do, I'm not saying it changes the timeline. They don't all of a sudden become cup contenders. I don't think Celebrini is that guy. But I think they have a couple of pieces, like a Celebrini, Kuzmenko, Sharon Govich line next year. Interests me. If anyone else drafts Teej, I hope they get the Adam Fox treatment. That would be amazing. Be like, hey, I'm only going to Calgary. Don't even bother. I'm not taking other interviews. I'm not doing anything else. I'm just doing the workout, and I'm just doing it for Calgary. I did the Alberta Champions Cup this weekend, which led to the highlight that I put to the six selfie on that I put on TikTok that led to a debate featuring the kid in the comment section, which is hilarious because he's 13 and chirping people in the comments. But it's a 13-year-old tournament. And at that age, there is obviously a lot of talent discrepancies. Like, it's like, oh, well, you've absolutely developed a little bit quicker than some, hey? The amount of times you would see the best player on the ice stick-handling his way into his zone, or toward the zone, and then dumping it in, even though he is about 100 times better than the defender at the line, drove me insane. And it's like, I get it. Oh, team game, dump and chase, pucks in deep, get after it, work on the wall. This kid's a billion times more talented than that other kid. Just make a move at the blue line and go in. We're teaching dump and chase when we really don't need to be. There is a time and a place for dump and chase, and it is not when your best player at, like, 6 feet tall is going in on a 5'2" defender. The Leafs, I think, obviously need to blow it up. Right? Blow it up would be a bit of a change, but the Leafs need to change things anyway, right? If Tree Living came to you and was like, look, we're not doing it one for one, but we need a goalie, and you need high-end talent. So we will do some kind of a package together where we give you Marner, you give us Markstrom plus. I can't even get it out without coughing. My bronchitis will... I got bronchitis. Will not even let me get this out. Do you think about it? Because, like, I think Marner is a very good hockey player. There seems to be some kind of a block when it comes to the playoffs. But he is, I think, the high-level type of a player that you try to get when rebuilds happen. And so I would give great consideration to bringing in that sort of a player. Again, it wouldn't just be the trade is one for one. Money-wise, it wouldn't even work. But just a thought. Just a thought, putting it out there, you know? Marner would be the best forward on the team for sure. Oh, yeah, 100%. He would be. And again, like, I don't think just him. And now, okay, well, rebuild's over. They got the big player they need. Then off they go. Like, I think they would be a team that would be competitive for a playoff spot next year. But you would still need to add around it. So it would be a tricky sell for sure. But I do think that there might be something there anyway, if you wanted it, right? Like, I also feel like this is a Flames organization that is probably going to want to get into the playoffs next year. And that would be the type of move that would try to get them there. And so that's why I think they would also give it a bit of consideration. The word playoff was thrown around a lot. That is absolutely fair. And I do understand it, and I said it when I was on 960. By the way, I'll be back on 960 on Monday. When I was over on 960 for locker cleanout day, and you hear all the players talking about, like, yeah, we want to be a playoff team. The coach, yeah, we want to be a playoff team. Conroy, eh. But, like, that is the mentality the coach and the player should always have. They should always be gearing up to go for the postseason. it's the management and all the other stuff that shouldn't. Like, that's the team building should be the ones who are looking toward the future. The player should always be focusing on the here and now, and the coach, I think, to a certain extent as well, should be focused on the here and now. So that stuff didn't bother me, even though it was like, it was noticeable, right, how much they were doing that. Yeah. Man, you have no idea how much that happens here, where all the animals will be here and my wife will go somewhere else. All of them follow. Like, dog sleeps on the bed, cats will sleep on the bed. When, like, my wife was sick a couple days ago, I mean, she still is, but she went and slept on the couch. All three, two cats and the dog, gone. Out to sleep. Now, nice for me, had the whole bed to myself. We're declining this trade, by the way. Was nice to me, had the whole bed to myself, but also, a little hurtful, and it happens all the time, like right now. Yeah, Kim leaves, animals out.
How do people feel about getting Bic Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.